and welcome to another episode of
Trash or Treasure,
the podcast where Kim
and Amy
bring you spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we read this week. And Amy, what did we read?
We read The Man Who Died Twice by Richard Osman.
Delightful.
It's the second book in the Thursday Murder Club series.
Ooh.
And I say series because
the third one coming out like end of this month or September or
15th of September.
There you go.
Check the release date.
I actually also checked that.
Kimberly.
Yes.
This being a mystery.
I think it's for the best if I do the spoiler-free.
I also think it's for the best.
Recap. So it is
contemporary.
It is contemporary. And it is once again set largely at Cooper's Chase, which is the old people's
retirement village.
Community village thing. Condos or high rises and flats and things and whatever, little shop and all that kind of stuff.
Quite
so it's a
nice.
Proper little village. It's
like
quite
a town.
Nice. Yes. In England, obviously, is where we're set. And it picks up a little while after, it doesn't sort of say how soon it is after the end of the first novel, but it's a little while after the end of the first novel, and our Thursday Murder Club are all still going strong and are very good friends, and their friendship has kind of been solidified and really grown. They're all quite strong at the start of
yes,
the book.
And they are Elizabeth, Ibrahim,
Elizabeth, Ibrahim, Ron, and Joyce. And they're also good friends with Donna and Chris, who are the local detectives in the police department. They're kind of their in the police department in the neighboring town. It kind of begins with Elizabeth being contacted via letter by someone claiming to be someone from her past, but the person they're claiming to be is dead. And so they're like, come and meet me. I'm staying in like this building in Cooper's Chase and I've just moved in, rah, rah. So she decides not to tell the rest of the Thursday Murder Club about it and goes off to meet this person who very quickly and early on in the book is revealed to be her ex-husband. And he
his name begins with a D, and I want to say Donald, but it's not Donald.
It's not Donald.
Donald Douglas.
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 So she and Douglas obviously ex-husbanding, like divorced, because she is married to Stephen, who has Alzheimer's. And they were both in like the spy game together, like MI6 or MI5.
MI5.
Or whatever. Yeah, so basically Douglas is like, I'm in witness protection because some diamonds got stolen and everyone thinks I've done it and blah, 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 blah. And then it's kind of, to be honest with you, so that kind of is the one thing that happens. And then, Elizabeth is going to be helping Douglas in the search for the diamonds and the various problems enrolled around that or embroiled around that. And then Donna and Chris are trying to prove or track down or investigate Connie Johnson, who is the new big kingpin in terms of the drug trade in Fairhaven, which is the town that neighbours onto them. And then the only other kind of plot line then going alongside it as well is very early on in the book, Ibrahim deciding to take some risks with his life and, you know, get out there and explore Fairhaven and take Ron's car for a spin and all of that kind of stuff. And he gets mugged and quite badly assaulted while he is out on an adventure. And that hits him really hard for the remainder of the book. And that becomes a really big plot line then for Ibrahim and for the others.
The three plot lines are the Douglas and the diamonds.
Yeah, Douglas and the diamonds with Poppy. Poppy's a part of that. She's like Douglas's handler. And Connie Johnson and the drugs.
Yep.
And
Ibrahim's
mother. And the person who assaulted him. And that's, look, there's so much more I could say, but honestly, I think any more details than that, obviously it's a Thursday Murder Club, so somebody dies.
Dun, dun,
dun. Dun, dun, dun.
Or perhaps somebody's.
Or perhaps only half of somebody. Or perhaps nobody is dead at all.
The Thursday Not Quite Murder Club.
Yes, and so that's it. I don't want to say anything else because I really enjoyed being a part of just this plot unfolding and unfurling and trying to work it out. So I will not say any more. That's it. They're the three plot lines. And apart from that, it's all the same things, same characters.
Do we need to say to people who may not have listened to the first one to just go back and listen to our review of the first one and then come and listen to this? Or do we need to tell them who Ron, Joyce,
look, I think that it is the second in a series and these are established and continuing characters. It's not like when you read a series in a romance, like a romance novel series, where whoever was in the first book and fell in love, like Daphne and Simon, are, you know, only maybe bit characters in the second book in the Bridgerton series. So, yeah, maybe listen to our review of that before you read the second one in the series if you're not interested in reading the first book.
Yeah, or but if you've forgotten.
I think, yeah, but I think with this, it's explained enough who they are in the book if you wanted to jump straight into the second one. But I don't know why you would. I would go back and read the first one. You don't have to, but the characters are more interesting if you've read about them in the first.
I agree.
So, Amy.
Kimberly.
You get to go first.
Yay.
What were your thoughts about The Man Who Died Twice?
I really enjoyed it. And this was an audiobook that held my attention. So normally I get really distracted if I'm just listening to the words and not reading them. But the performance of
the
this,
woman who reads
Leslie
this,
Manville.
Yeah, she's awesome.
Very professional performer. Creates the characters incredibly effectively.
Yeah.
And that really was very gripping. What I also really liked about it is the pace. So the chapters are really quite short.
Yep.
So
and they, because there are those three plots, they jump around a lot.
They do jump around, so you don't get bored. Like, it doesn't plod just with one character for ages and ages and then switch to another.
Which also means there's less padding required.
The different character voices that you get to read. So you have Joyce's diary where she's talking like you're in the position as the reader of the diary.
She
I love how you. Joyce's brain works.
Me
because
too.
Here they are in this really high stress situation and the thing she really wants to know is, am I meant to leave the herbal tea bag in?
Yes. or can someone please, I feel like someone needs to mention to him that you can get a hair transplant. Because he is going bald at the front, but I really couldn't find an appropriate moment in the conversation to bring it up. Perhaps I'll write him a note. Like, it's just...
I love that, and it's very real and
yes.
very engaging and makes me think, this could be where I'm heading.
Yes!
But what I thought was really nice in the book is because it has all these different character voices. So obviously when we're with Ibrahim, because of what's happened to him, it's quite sad and
yes.
it's quite melancholy. When we're with Joyce, because of her character personality and she's the only one who gets a first person narrative,
yeah,
it's quite lighthearted because she thinks of all these different things. Elizabeth is like reading Ian Fleming novels.
Yeah.
And Ron is...
We don't often get Ron's perspective.
No, we get Ron with other people. So he might be doing something with Bogdan or he's doing something with Elizabeth or with Ibrahim.
We get a bit of Bogdan's perspective, which I really enjoyed, yeah.
So because you're with these different people, some of them are baddies.
Yeah.
Some of them are goodies. You get a chance to experience like lots of different moods. So it comes across overall, like there's some really serious moments in it. Like
absolutely.
The sort of underlying Elizabeth Stephen and her worries and her deep fears about her husband.
Oh, heartbreaking. Yeah.
It's really heartbreaking.
Yeah.
But then you as a reader get a break or you get a moment to go and have a laugh at Joyce in a tea bag.
Yeah.
And then you move back. So I thought it was really, really well balanced.
Yeah.
Reading wise. I think the most developed characters are Elizabeth and Joyce in terms of, like, they get the most airtime.
Yep.
Elizabeth is a fascinating character, but she needs the others to balance her, and I
absolutely.
Think that's been done really well, that the four of them balance each other. I really enjoyed Donna.
Yeah, I love Donna.
Donna.
I liked her in the first book
Donna
too.
Is very dry whenever the narrative hands over to her.
Yeah.
And I enjoy spending time with all of the different characters in this novel, and that and the balance between the moods and the pace of it made it a really, really effective audiobook. I read the very end just as the book itself because I needed to get to the end quicker than Leslie Manville could read it to me.
Fair enough.
And I both enjoyed both formats. So I would totally recommend this. And then after I finished it, I immediately was like, okay, and I'll buy the third one. Damn it, it doesn't come out yet.
I know. I was like, when can I download that audiobook? And I was like, no, it's not out yet.
No. So recommend from me. What about you?
Yeah, I love it. Absolutely loved it. I also thought, so if you've read the first one, because I quite enjoyed the first one as well, this is, I think, considerably better. So I think he's really, I actually think he's really settled into these characters and settled into this format. I think we got to explore the complexities. I think he does the complexities of old age really nicely. And that kind of perspective of being at the end of one life, because you've lived this life of raising children or having this massive career or trying to make a difference or whatever, whatever you've done, and all the characters have had kind of very different lives.
Big
that
lives.
Life is big lives, and those lives are over. Those lives have finished.
Yeah.
But there's not nothing. It's this whole other thing has started for them now, and they have these friendships that are really some of the deepest any of them have ever had in their entire lives. They've started now. Like, it's happened in this kind of second life that they've had after their first big life has finished up. He just writes that time in a person's life so believably and realistically that it's so easy, like it just is so easy to buy into these characters and buy into their thoughts and feelings and troubles and to empathize with them, even though it's quite foreign. Like, it's not something that I can say, oh, that's just like when I, you know what I mean? It's so removed.
It's just like when I will.
Yeah, exactly. It's so far removed from anything I would necessarily understand, but it's yeah, he just really knows. I think I always feel like he really knows these characters inside out. Yeah. He just really.
He doesn't poke fun. He.
No, they're genuine. It's real. Nothing is a caricature. Nothing in this novel is a shallow caricature of. They exploit and play with the caricatures and shallowness that are around the assumptions made about elderly people, Joyce in particular. But that's not what the book is doing at all. These people are just so wonderful and so genuine, and getting to see them all develop a little bit more are just, it's just lovely. It's really lovely to watch. And
do you really like all the little tiny details in it? The
yes.
little, like, Joyce's friendship bracelets. I loved how that was a
great.
Consistent little thread.
Yeah, and I really liked Joyce's little moments where she was like, I'm going to strike out on my own away from Elizabeth because she doesn't have to be in charge of me all the time.
But I feel bad.
And I also
probably tell Elizabeth.
Yes. And I also enjoyed watching their friendship develop.
Yeah.
Do you know, I guess I think I, and I don't mean this to sound patronizing to old people. That's not what I'm trying to say. What I kind of mean is I think there is a potential, a hazardous potential to be like, well, I'm going to set it in an old retirement village with a bunch of people because I need more than one character, and they're going to be old fogies because that'll be funny, and they're going to solve murders. And so have it be really just about whatever murder they're solving, but it's not. This is driven by the relationships and experiences of the characters in it, because actually it doesn't matter how old you are. Relationships and friendships and personal growth and development and fights and plans for the future and hope, all of that is central to the human experience, whether you are 20 or 85. Like, it
yes.
doesn't actually matter. And
I think he does that really beautifully. Yeah.
And it makes me have a lot of respect for him as an author, I guess. That's what I mean. It would be so easy to just fall into the, not even deliberately, but just fall into the trap of having it be a cliche. And it's not. He always treats these characters so respectfully and with so much thought behind it that I really like them. And I found the mystery awesome. I really enjoyed it. I spent
mysteries.
The whole time. Yeah, the mysteries.
It's sort of like, by the power of Elizabeth.
Pretty
plus
much.
Joyce.
Yeah. But I found the whole time I was trying to work it out too, because that's what these kind of things are for me. And I didn't pick it. I picked it at almost the same time Elizabeth was like, oh, I think I've worked it out. I was like,
I just settle into it. I don't even try and work it out because I know I just can't pick up the clues.
No,
so
I know.
But I
always think that that's nice because I want to find those clues. And if it's a murder mystery, then I think that's like a part of the journey you're being led on. So I always kind of rate murder mysteries on there's a skill to how you drop those little hints and leave those little clues.
Yes.
So there were some components where I was like, oh, I picked that right at the start. Can't believe they weren't questioning that sooner. And then there were other bits where I was like totally committed to this kind of red herring. And I was like, yes, I think the red herring is true, but it wasn't because it was a red herring. So yeah, I really, really, really enjoyed it. Loved it. Read it so quickly. It was terrific.
Yes, it was very... very quick.
I and was then like, I was very...
I'm going to do the dishes because I can listen to it. Well, yeah. I'll do that tonight. What can I do?
Very excited that because we had left this one so late to get around to reading it, that I, when I looked up when the next one was coming, it was like imminent as opposed to like 6 months from now, which also feels soon. It was like barely weeks.
2 weeks away.
2 weeks away.
I'd love to know if Richard Osman watched a documentary called The Mole Agent, which I saw last year, and it's from Chile, and it's about exactly what you were saying, the difference between like caricature and genuine.
Yeah, right.
It's about this investigator gets hired by the daughter of someone in a old person's home.
Like, yeah.
And it's more of a nursing home rather than a retirement village because she's convinced that the woman's being exploited. And so the investigator hires, he needs an agent who can go undercover, and he hires this guy who's like, well, my kids are grown up, my wife's passed away.
Yeah.
It's just me. He's like 80. And he trains him in like undercover surveillance.
Yeah, amazing.
And the documentary is just sort of about this guy who just loves talking to people.
Yeah.
And that's his strength. And he talks to people at the end of it going, you need to tell your client that, do you know what she could have just done? Come and visited her mum. I've been here for a year and I've never seen her turn up once.
Yeah.
Starts off and you're like, this is going to be really funny. Yeah. And it ends and you're like going, oh, that's actually a really powerful message. And I get the same vibe from
That people just write off, particularly young people, just write off anyone over the age of like maybe 55.
Or we go, oh, Miss Murder Mysteries in an old people's home. That'll be so funny.
Yes. It'll be just like Miss Marple.
And it is fun, but it also has
it's fun
dignity
because,
and nuance.
Yes. I feel like we've lost our way, but I really enjoyed it.
So did I. So we are putting this, we'll definitely put it.
It's treasure.
The treasure. My husband has asked if I can purchase it as a hard copy.
He asked me if I thought he should read it. And I said yes.
Yeah, he did want me to check with you first. Yeah,
he asked me the other night.
So, treasure.
Treasure. Definitely go out and read it. I would also say that if you haven't read the first one, I still recommend that. If you have read the first one, definitely, even if you just kind of mildly like the first one, read this one because I think it's significantly better.
Mm. Really enjoy it.
Mm, and stand by for our very rapid, I'm sure, in 2.5 weeks' time, our review of the third one, because I'll be reading it as soon as it comes out. At any rate, thank you so much once again for spending some of your time with us. And tune in next week. We'll bring you more spoiler-free recaps, reviews, and recommendations for whatever we've read then. And until that day,
happy reading!
And just a quick reminder here at the end of the podcast that we would love to hear from you. We want your recommendations, the good, the bad, the interesting, doesn't matter. Please reach out, send us an email at trashortreasurepodcast@outlook.com. Or we are also available at the world's most awkward Twitter handle, which Amy has to tell you about. Listen to our Twitter handle. It's the greatest.
It's @_treasure.
Doesn't that just roll off the tongue?
And with those encouraging words, tweet or email us.
We love to hear from you. Happy reading.
Cheers.